Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Did you just turn something down? That's me? Okay. Yeah, I was yelling there. I'm sorry. I have kind of a loud voice, and I don't mean to. We're at the State Farmers Market, and it's overcast. I haven't checked the radar. Is it Nelson Cox? Is it going to rain? Or
I think it has rained
enough. Just looking around. No, I don't see any. Don't see any rain. It's a little cloudiness around. Brother Rufus, you okay?
I am. Let's call up Brother Gary Stevenson and ask him what it is. The weatherman, when it gets bad weather coming on, he wears a black shirt and rolls his sleeves up.
And he was on the. He was on with us.
Yes, what a great guy.
Last,
and by the way,
week.
Thank you, Gary, for that wonderful gift of I assume a hummingbird feeder that the ants can't get in.
Get the ant guard.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that is so, somebody's playing playing Derek and the Dominoes over there. Layla, that's good. I thought it was us at first.
I did too.
How about
that? We had a little background music.
Well, I guess we do.
We
enjoy the selections. And we're across from the locally made cannabis tent.
Oh, gosh.
So this is legal cannabis, but it's all you can eat at the State Farmers Market restaurant today. Just kidding.
Oh, my God. Well, it's about that way anyway.
I know.
And
I know they serve well at the seafood restaurant, certainly.
Yeah. But I think Kemp had a notion to overfeed people all of his life.
Oh, goodness. Doesn't he load it up?
And he reminded me the other day that there used to be a Kemp's a long time ago out on Highway 70 west toward Durham that was phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
hadn't thought of that.
He opened that up after opening the farmer's market.
That was a large restaurant.
Yes.
That was a huge restaurant.
Yes.
But he is a class act.
Here. Oh, he's great. And his mom really likes this show for some reason.
She does. She listens. So good morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah.
So, Richard, I don't know if we put these headphones on. You took all the trouble to come out here instead of calling us today. So, good morning to you, my friend.
Well, it's hardly trouble when you go foraging.
Oh, yeah. You've been foraging? Where's a good place to forage?
Everywhere. Well, my first stop was the German bakery, Annalore's.
Yeah.
So I'll be heirloom hunting also.
Well, what kind of cookie did you get there?
That's not a cookie, is it? Is it a pastry?
Lemon poppy scone.
Oh, a scone.
Okay.
I'm not much of a scone eater, but I had one several days, as a matter of fact, in Ickham, England.
Oh, wow.
Went to my daughter's best friend's wedding in Ickham, England, and it... they were hot right out of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
So they were good. And the Brits know how to make those.
There's an Italian variety, too. It's called the Sconi Bologna.
Sconi Bologna, that could be southern Southern, too. A little bologna.
Yeah, put that
there
on the farmer's market restaurant. Add that to the Jim Graham special.
That's right, a scone bologna. What a wonderful name for a sandwich.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, so welcome, everybody, to the Weekend Gardener. Richard, what have you been up to? You just,
Trying to get the lawn mowed between...
how long does it take you?
Well, twice the time now because it's growing so quickly.
Yeah.
Zoysia is the densest and the thickest I've ever seen it. And actually, the technical specs on it are you should have a real mower, which I don't. I don't even have an unreal mower.
I don't often see that. There's several yards in my neighborhood that have zoysia, and there's only one person I know of who has a real type mower, a motorized real type mower. Now, Ann Clapp had, because I was with her and she bought it, I think this was the second one she had, was a manual one. Yeah. She had a very small plot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really a yard, and so she used that.
Among 150 camellias.
Yeah. Yeah, this was outside of that range. Most of those camellias were in the back, and they were all kind of on a slope. Some of them were on a slope because she had a hair snake creek down below.
Well, and I thought about Ann the other day as I rode over the crabgrass in the yard.
I got all of that. My weeds are having a great time, too.
Well, and crabgrass has a really high modulus of elasticity, and I'm sure that in her career as a textile person, she probably could lecture for hours on elasticity.
Probably so, yeah. She knew her.
Now, what was that word again?
Elasticity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, come mow at the farm.
Why was you said another word before that? Emotch. No. Didn't you say something else? Some other word? Okay, I guess not.
Well, Richard is the walking version of Webster's Dictionary.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me, normally I can maintain the weeds by just cutting off the crabgrass heads, and I had it really well under control. And then I remember reading the book, a book about seeds, and buoyancy came to mind. Well, if you lop off the crabgrass before it can create seeds, then largely you can control it. But because of the rains, and I had it under control, but because of the rains, the really deep crabgrass seeds apparently floated to the top. And
well, you're not supposed to have crabgrass in zoysia.
Well, it can occur.
Yeah.
But usually close mowing will control it.
Yeah. Right.
But this is the first time I've had to set it at the deck at 3 inches.
Yeah. Rufus, we don't have that problem, do we? Just kind of keep the weeds out.
Well, I have an invasion of stilt grass everywhere now. Mm. And all I know to do except poison the whole thing and mow it.
Mm-hmm. I have mainly wild strawberries, which is quite nice. Quite
I
nice.
Have violets.
So they don't grow.
Yeah, they stay low.
Well, I tell you, the farm, which I did mow
yesterday. Yeah, you do a lot of mowing.
Oh, my goodness. I mowed a lot yesterday, probably 3.5 hours, and still didn't quite finish. And I was like, Mom, I got to get on the road. But
you should buy a tractor with an air-conditioned cab.
I should.
Yeah.
I should.
And, yeah. And an extra large bush hog. Or what do you use?
Well,
do you use a bush hog or you use something else?
I'm using a zero-turn radius. Because
you're not using a tractor, they don't go fast enough for you.
Well, it'll zip, but there's a lot of grass, and I'm having to sometimes double mow, set the deck high, and then mow again because mm-hmm. you know, just with the rain, I mean, it just grows so fast. But I need that because I could use the belly tractor for some of it, but most of it I need the zero turn because of the blueberries and blackberries and tons of, you know, plant and landscape beds, and there's a lot of pasture fence, a lot of linear feet with that. So I really need that zero turn. And it's very efficient. I mean, I can zip right through it. You know, if we were in more of a drought, it'd be a dust bowl, so I'm grateful for the rain. But, you know, you're looking at 2 hours versus 3.5 hours.
Rufus has a ladybug.
Well,
yeah.
Not
look at
a ladybug.
That.
What is that creature, Nelson?
Isn't it, it is
a type of coccinia.
It looks it's not a ladybug. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's got little things that look like claws.
They'll bite, too.
Oh, you like
get out there. Get out there. Put it on a plant. Put it on a plant, let it. What is it seeking?
Aphids.
Oh, you got aphids. Well,
you got aphids, Rufus?
Don't be mean to it, then.
Under my fingernails, aphids.
Yeah. Well, the bush hog came up about a week ago in a discussion. The fellow who runs the Seaman Service Ministry in Moorhead had to go back and bush hog some of his land.
Oh.
And the pastor, Park, that I work with, that we all work with, is Korean. And he's looking, bush hog? Bush hog? What kind of animal is that?
I was going to say it sounds like an animal.
I had a roommate from Cyprus, which we still are good friends and keep in touch.
I'd love to go there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I've been to Greece, but not to Cyprus.
Oh, it's awesome. But she asked my mother one time. She said, "Well, where's Bill? Where's Nelson's dad?" And she said, he had to stay back and bush hog. And she said, is that like something he has on a leash?
Riding the bush hog is what you should have said. Yeah, it is kind of interesting.
Well, that's a combination of a pole in China and a wild boar.
Oh, okay.
Bush hog.
You have those in a pen out there?
I used to slop the hogs all right. And they caught my little brother Baker one time. He had to walk up a hill to go to the hog pen. And that little stinker was dumping the slop out before he got to the top of the hill. And I caught him at it and tattled on him. And I kept wondering why those pigs were squealing so much. Well, they're about to starve. And so I let him have, I reminded him of that the rest of his life, that he dumped the hog slop.
Because it was heavy?
It was heavy, yeah.
Yeah,
big,
yeah, yeah. So he was
big
trying
peg to bucket, or bigger than that, 5-gallon bucket full of slop.
Well, he was right big boy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so he
that time he's about 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
5-gallon bucket for a 7-year-old, that'd be mighty tough.
Oh, yeah.
So is the pig squeals really a rat?
Yeah. They can make a... I'm not going to talk about when they get
don't
ready to
do that.
The baking time. They can use some squealing.
So, Richard, anything else?
Going back to buoyancy from Triumph of Seeds, the book, coconuts are a prime example of how, because they're so buoyant, they just carry across the ocean and repopulate. So that was another interesting example.
Do you like, do you read novels?
Once in a while.
Yeah. Harrison, hand me that. Get my bag.
Oh, that'll scare Richard to death.
I think this is a friend of the show.
Oh, okay.
If I can find out where it is. Well, over here. He's written, and I think he has another novel coming out.
That bag has more zippers.
It does.
Well, reading and radio are some of the best sources of entertainment because I like the way P.J. O'Rourke referred to the TV as a visual lobotomy.
Wait a minute. That one's signed, isn't it? Is that one signed?
Food Chain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a scary book, Richard, I can tell you.
Okay. This one's signed. I'll have to get a copy for you, but take a look at it while you're sitting there.
All right.
Yeah, it's a wild book.
Hmm.
Being attacked by insects, basically. And we're at State Farmers Market.
Oh, it's signed.
Yeah. Okay. I better keep that one.
All right.
I'll get you a copy of the Food Chain, Rob Hales. It's a crazy book. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from the State Farmers Market at 8:20. We're back at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.
It's the farm building.
It's a farmer building number 2, but we're in slot, I guess, 65.
Yes.
So we're on the south side of building number 2, but we're down here with the plants, right beside Long Hill Nursery and John, John's over there.
Yep, we got Long Hill Nursery, and he's got some gorgeous hibiscus out here today, and all kinds of, some with burgundy foliage, some with white, pink, red.
We could give some away.
Tones. Yeah, yeah.
Richard, would you like? Would you like one?
Yeah, I could take one to the neighbor.
All right. Well, you're such a loyal listener. I think you you should get one
take
if you'd like.
Take one down to the beach. You're Newburn. Where are you?
Moorhead.
Moorhead. Yeah,
that's going to turn into a construction site
Uh-oh.
Pretty soon. And,
oh, okay.
And I'm going to have to re-landscape everything. There's not much landscaping to do, so I'll be able to rebuild, but it's a much smaller area.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, before you leave, then.
Now, Richard, that hibiscus will not fit in your knapsack.
No, that's true. How far away are you parked?
Oh, it's just the little Kia Soul over there.
Okay.
But
well, you're a big guy.
You 200 feet away.
Well, that's kind of a small car for you, isn't it?
Well, my 28-inch bicycle frame will fit in there. And
what kind of bike do you have?
It's a custom bike made by Ed Gaddy, the Psychologic Bicycle Shop in Raleigh, which ran for about 50 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow. How long have you had the bike?
Since about 1978.
Wow. And so he has maintained that bike, and you and maintained that bike.
Yeah, it's a custom frame. When you get a custom frame made, it's just like having a custom suit made. They measure your dimensions, determine if you want it for touring or for racing, and then build it accordingly.
Now, the problem I have with riding a bike in Raleigh is partly the traffic.
Keep from falling over.
I do well on the bike. I love bikes, but I just, it's the traffic plus the hills.
Yeah, well, you have to have low gears and you spin. You maintain about 60 RPM and then adjust your gears to maintain that so you don't have a big load. But you can get a lot lower gear. We have something called a grandma gear, which is a real tiny...
Well, about a grandpa grill.
Yeah.
A gear.
And the other thing around Raleigh, especially, wear bright clothes, wear a reflective vest. I've got a bell that I use, and if that doesn't work to get these people on the earbuds to get their attention, I've got an air horn to light them up.
I have a Bianchi, and then I have a Raleigh. So one's mountain bike, one's my race bike. And
I should have a Raleigh because that's what when I was in Ireland, England, they called us Mr. and Mrs. Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, some motorists treat bicyclers as some kind of foreign. They hate them.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And I've had them see them shake their fists and blow their horns.
Right, because you're slowing them up.
Oh, yeah.
They should drive slowly. But, with their bike lanes, try to stick to bike lanes or go to the beach, and if it's a quiet beach, even Topsail Island, even Topsail Beach, which is quiet, it's almost no businesses there. It's all houses. It has gotten pretty busy, so and it's flat.
Yeah,
I like riding bikes there.
Well, but then you catch the headwind one way or another.
Yeah, that's
either
true.
Either going or coming.
Kiawah Island is the best place because they got bike paths on Kiawah Island. So.
Well, the wind is the hill that never ends.
Yeah.
And the other problem.
It could be, Or it could be you getting it from behind, you pushing you.
Well, the other thing that happens in the flatlands is you get carpal tunnel because I would get cushion gloves, like impact gloves.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I appreciate talking to you.
All right.
You take care, my friend.
All right.
All right, we'll be back here at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're in building number 2, slot 65. Come see us. Back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Nelson Cox and the former Secretary of State and Attorney General of North Carolina, Rufus Edmonston, and currently the Secretary General of Gardening.
Yeah, I like that title, Best of All.
Yeah.
It's a great title.
That was given to me by our Secretary of State.
Current Secretary.
Elaine Marshall.
Elaine Marshall, who listens to the show and is a fine person. I've enjoyed so much talking to her over the years. She's all about North Carolina.
She used to come to the garden hut occasionally here and there.
Yeah, yep. She gets out.
She's a good gardener, too. She knows her stuff. She was big in the 4-H when she was growing up.
Right.
And still very active in the 4-H.
Is she from Lee County?
Well, no, Harnett County.
Harnett County, okay.
Well, a native of Maryland, but moved to Harnett County.
Right, okay. That's right. She is from Maryland originally.
Maryland,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so...
Dr. Bob, he got us on the word.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Dr. Bob, thank you. What would modular...
It was modulus.
Modulus. I bet Dr. Bob, he's a smart guy. He uses that word all the time.
He does.
And of course, Richard's real smart. I'm not very smart, so I don't think I've ever worked that into a conversation, but I will try to.
There you go. We'll all use that word today.
Rufus, be sure and use modulus.
And elasticity.
Yeah.
So, elasticity, I've mentioned that fairly often.
Yeah, so Dr. Bob texts me, and I text him back, and I said, I need an eye exam.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. So I was like, please have your staff call me.
Well, he knows how to do it.
He does. He's my guy.
Well, how about for Dr. Bob, we do the Cliff Joyner saying of the day?
Sounds good.
Well, they'd be two good people to have on your team.
May your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears.
Choices reflect your hopes, not your fears. Yeah. Let's go. Who said that besides Cliff?
Well, that was actually Nelson Mandela.
Appropriate. All right. Hope old Cliff is doing well this morning.
Or there is the author Cliff of the year. Well, how are you? This gentleman here worked for Harlem Boys for years.
Oh, my.
And wrote the definitive book on the Bonnie Neighbors case. Go ahead. A case that I had very much involvement when I was Attorney General. The cold case files, and it was a mystery. And to me, after reading your book, it's still a mystery. Bonnie Neighbors was the young lady.
This was in Johnston?
In Johnston County.
Yes.
And she went one day and took the wrong turn.
Introduce our friend here. You worked for Harlan Boyles?
I did.
That was
the best job I ever had.
What a fine man.
My title was deputy treasurer, but my job was to do anything that nobody else wanted to do. And on some days, that included taking out the garbage.
Well, you know, I started out like that. I kind of did everything.
Tell me your name, because you're so familiar.
Charles Heatherly.
Charles Heatherly.
The thing I enjoyed working with Harlan so much is that as a young man, he had polio.
Yes.
But he overcame that and went to college, got a degree in accounting. And he had three job offers when he graduated. And he said he thought working for the government would be the least risky.
Well, he did well.
Yes. And then he, he started out with
Edwin Gill.
I wanted to say but they were the same generation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But he was Mr. Gill's underling. He did
and
all
Gill
the
had
jobs.
Been treasurer for years and years and years.
Yeah. And then when Mr. Gill retired, Harlan took his place. And then he decided to go for it and became treasurer. Altogether, he served 49 years in the treasurer's office.
That's unbelievable.
That's
did
amazing.
You work with Tom Campbell?
I did.
Yeah.
Tom was there for a period of time.
Close friend, and has hosted this show when I'm away.
But the thing that I enjoyed working with Mr. Boyles is that he was the most honest person.
Yeah.
We used to tease him that he had not only the first dime that he ever earned, but all the interest that it accumulated.
How about that?
Wow.
Well, he was a very gracious gentleman.
Well, he told this story. His father owned a small grocery store in the rural county where he grew up with. It was one of those one-room stores.
Where was he from? Do you not remember? Or Rufus, do you remember where Harlem
was? It was near Charlotte.
Okay.
Gaston
County?
In Gaston County.
No, it wasn't Gaston. It was
Cleveland County?
On the other side of
Cleveland, up
there.
Oh, yes. His friend Judy Gilbert was from there.
Right. Anyway, he said his father, whenever he sold a loaf of bread, he made 3 cents profit. And then if Harlan ate a candy bar, he ate up the profit. And Harlan kept that lesson all of his life because everything had value to him.
Yeah, he was born in Lincoln County, right? Brought up in Lincoln County.
Yeah.
And he had a brother. And
that is not where they had the Lincoln County Wars.
No. That. And Charlie, tell a little bit about the Bonnie Neighbors case in your book.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I got interested, my wife and I lived in Johnson County for 8 years, not far from where it happened. But the curious thing is that she had two children, one a baby, and she and the baby left home one afternoon, mid-afternoon, supposedly to go to school to pick up the first grader.
Okay.
And when she left her driveway, if she were actually going to the school, she would have turned right. But instead, she turned left.
Okay.
And the milkman saw her. And
Go ahead.
The milkman saw her, and she was spinning tires, which was very much unlike her, in a hurry to get out. And then she went a short pace to the left and then turned right. And then that was a Thursday afternoon, and she went missing. And the reason I was aware, I was in the National Guard at that time, and that weekend our helicopters were used to search the area for it. And every 10 years, the case would come back up again, you know, with no resolution.
Keep it right there. We'll be right back here from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.
That's a great story. That credit card anyway.
Sorry, we're back on card. WPTF, State Charles Farmers Kelly. Market in Raleigh. We are,
hey, Steve.
We're
hey,
back
Darren.
On the air, Secretary, Mr. Secretary. And Charles Heatherly wrote a book about the Bonnie Neighbors case in Johnston County. And I wanted you to wrap that up before we got away from it,
because
you started us out.
The mystery was is that she disappeared on a Thursday afternoon.
Right.
Supposedly en route to pick up a kid at school, but she turned away from the direction of the school and was missing from Thursday until Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It had gotten down in the 20s each night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And yet when they found her, the baby was alive.
Yeah, she had a baby.
On the bed with her.
Yeah.
She was murdered.
Yeah, so that has never been solved.
Well, they tried to blame it 48 years later on a black guy who would have been 18 years old at the time.
Right.
She was larger than he was. She was more athletic than he was. He was skinny, and he wouldn't have had any reason to approach her or attempt to.
There was no connection between him and her. Under any circumstances, as I recall.
Yeah, he was arrested. And so is that where it stands now?
Well, the sheriff actually told me we solved this case. And I said, looks like he found somebody to blame it on, a scapegoat.
So it's Charles Heatherly. What's the book called?
It's called A Wrong Turn. Ends in murder.
Ends in murder. Yeah. Okay.
And Monica, our farm manager who's here, knows the baby.
The
is
child.
Friends with the baby. The child.
The child survived.
The child survived. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, that anybody
Small
who loves
world.
Murder mysteries, this is not a novel.
Well, it's not. I had three cases, and not a one that I put on my top list as unsolved murders. One was the Durham case in Boone, North Carolina, where a man and his wife and their son, Bobby, were strangled on a cold night.
Right.
Another one was the Bradford Bishop case, who was a CIA guy who murdered in Potomac, Maryland, his wife, his mother-in-law, and two kids, and buried them in a shallow grave outside of Plymouth, North Carolina.
Right.
And they've never found Bradford Bishop to this day. They know he did it. And the SBI worked on that one. They found the car soaked, the wheel of the station wagon. Those old station wagons had a wheel back, a pit where you put the wheel in, full of blood, and up around Gatlinburg.
Not to get too graphic this morning on the weekend.
They have never found or heard of Bradford Bishop since that day. So there are three cases that I review that are still unsolved of the many hundreds that go this way, by the way.
Absolutely.
It's hard for people to believe, but there are many murder cases that are never solved.
Right.
Actually, about only half of the murders are solved.
Yeah.
Right.
And in most of those cases, whoever did it goes up and says, I did it. He deserved it.
Right.
Lock me up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So nice talking to you.
Yeah.
You just never know who you're going to see at the farmer's market.
That's right. Charlie, good to see you again.
So, Steve, come on over and talk to us a minute. You got to take your hat off. Yeah. You won't be able to get these on without the hat. With the hat. So, our friend Steve is with us, the Daylily King.
I never noticed what a head of hair Steve has.
He
could be a glamour guy.
Still got some daylilies blooming.
Considering I'm under chemo, that's not a bad thing.
I know.
But, I moved some daylilies yesterday.
See if we can move the mic up. I'll shake your hand, too.
I am having a heck of a time. There you go.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's fine.
Loud and clear.
We cleared out a bed of Siberian irises.
Oh,
and we brought you some that you can share with the people at the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah, we shall do that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know my mom's going to make sure I bring her one.
They're very healthy.
Yeah, I'm going to have
doubt
a Siberian.
It.
I got to have some of those, too.
Now, what color are they? Are they
purple?
Purple.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Purple, and they're very, I mean, when I dug that up, I got some really good roots out of it. It's just that it had been there for 10 years, and we were tired of it, so.
Yeah, well, Steve, try to tell a little bit of difference between that and the regular bearded.
Well, these are smaller, aren't they?
Iris. Well, what's the difference of that and the bearded iris?
Backwards. Is that what the problem is?
I don't know. Hooks is an expert on this stuff. So.
I'm a backwards kind of guy. Anyway.
Me too.
But, last week when I called in, I talked about when I rerooted something.
Yeah.
I used, it's called Ortho Plant Starter. It comes in a concentrate, and you mix a gallon of it up, and when you put the root in, it helps it with root shock.
Oh, okay.
And I've been using it since I started, and I've had real good success with it. But one of those daylilies I dug up yesterday was in the drip line of a summer snowbank viburnum.
Wow.
And when I dug it out, I dug out a huge root ball, a root mass, and it had choked out the daylily. So when you plant bigger plants and you got other, you know, plants in the bottom underneath it, you got to watch out for that root choking, because I've got a fringe tree that is getting bigger, and it's choking out my daylilies there too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It, well, it's something you consider.
Yeah, you certainly do.
We got a half moon, a full
moon.
Is it a full moon?
Hosta.
Well, come on, Steve.
I got to bring my.
A hosta?
No, it's a.
Maple.
Maple.
Okay.
And one of the. I took a picture of it. One of the main branches died on me, and I was wondering if it's just because it's got a crack down at the base, or
I mean, was there some damage from all the storms we've had, or
when did it do that?
It just started. I mean, about 2 weeks ago, and that's how much it progressed in that 2 weeks.
Well, I hope it's not what Nelson diagnosed with one of my beautiful, beautiful trees, ambrosia beetles. Would it be ambrosia beetle?
Well, I'm thinking it's a little late, and that's what I'm trying to see. I thought I saw some frasses, but...
What's a frass? Sassafras? I knew sassafras.
Does that mean I can scrape it off and make tea out of it?
Frass.
We're learning all kinds of words.
And what does it mean?
It's like the sawdust frass where the...
Oh, okay. So if you got a bore or something.
So, Steve, I'm thinking you need to make a very clean cut and free that limb.
Right.
And then see what happens, or take it somewhere and diagnose it, or
no?
What?
I mean, I can't see that there's
any damage.
Yeah, I mean,
talk to them, not me.
You can see if there's any axillary buds that are green, but it doesn't look like it. So I'd first check any little axillary buds. Just take your thumbnail and see if it breaks off, and if you see a little green, kind of be the shape of a horseshoe. A little tiny horseshoe to see if it's viable, but it doesn't look that it is, especially since it's one direct branch.
Yeah, I think
branch.
It's completely gone.
Yeah, so it's important to get that out of there quickly and try to make the cut as clean as possible so it doesn't sucker.
Right.
So prune it at the branch collar.
Yeah, but two weekends ago we were in Waynesboro, and every time we were turning a corner, your signal kept... And remember I kept cutting out on you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't keep a signal up there. It's just...
Oh, you're talking about Waynesboro, Virginia?
No.
He was up Waynesville. Waynesville. He was in our mountains.
Okay. Yeah, our mountains.
Waynesboro is where Major Dave's from, isn't it?
If I'm gonna spend money, I'm gonna spend money in my home state.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine.
Anyway, just
these are
Siberian iris.
What's the difference of that and a regular bearded iris?
Smaller.
Okay.
Yeah. I said that. How about that?
Yeah. Yay. Yeah.
And they don't have an old man's beard either.
Right. I assume that.
But they're pretty, isn't it? Nice,
they
deep,
are
deep
very,
purple.
They're very, yeah, very pretty, and they.
And how do we plant them?
Just on the surface, like you do an iris.
Okay.
Any iris.
Yeah.
Just don't bury the thing too deep.
Is this the time to divide?
Amen.
Iris.
Absolutely.
Perfect. August.
Perfect time.
Yeah.
Well, they come out in roots like this.
Yeah. Now you'd clip that off, but.
You don't need all of that.
I always leave a little bit of the tuber showing.
Uh-huh.
The worst thing, as Steve says, is to bury one down under. They're
right.
Just not going to do any good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need the top of the tuber needs to breathe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
There's one. There's a photo.
Isn't that pretty?
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Got some yellow in it, too.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Just gorgeous.
And the blooms this year got about that big, and that's huge for them.
Oh, yes.
But they were doing good, but we needed to make a change there.
Well, you're going to bring a lot of joy to some people, and one of them is me.
Well, they're,
and one of them is my mom, Barbara.
And just to let anybody know, if anybody wants some and they're not at the farmer's market, I have a wheelbarrow full of these at home, and they can find my garden by going to the website at the Raleigh Daylily Club. And look at the tab that says Display Gardens. And my display garden is named Just One More. My address and phone number are there. So just come and I'll have it at the end of the driveway, and they can have as many as they want.
Well, Steve, I was coming back from Wake Pain and Spine the other day and cut on 50 off of... and so they said your shop is up on the left up there, and I kept looking on the way from... The 50 to 70, I couldn't find it.
No, I don't have a shop. That used to be a daylily garden, but it's not anymore.
Okay, yeah.
The guy that owned that, his daughter. Whoops. Okay,
that's right. We got to go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.